Welcome to another Let's Talk with Dysfunctional. I am your host, Jesus Figueroa at Dysfunctional of Dysfunctional.com. And today I am joined by a very special guest. She's an actress. She's an architect. She is a entertainment reporter. She is a very lovely person, Ms. Rocio from entertainmentaffairs.com. How's it going, Rocio?
Thank you so much for that. I'm great. How are you? How are you today?
I am doing fine. I've been trying to relax a little. I think over the last couple of days, I had overdone it with the news and the negativity. So I just needed to step away from that for a bit. I don't know how much you're able to take in from everything that's going on and just be okay with it. But I know for me, it causes me a lot of mental anguish at points. So I have to step away every once in a while.
Yes, definitely. This couple of past days, it's been like that for me as well. It's becoming overwhelming on points. And definitely, I found myself disconnecting a lot lately from social media, my phone. And yeah, because you're just bombarded with so much right now. There's so many issues going on right now. And it's very overwhelming. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah, I think with Pride Month, everything has just like been so chaotic. But I hope people are celebrating Pride Month. The LGBTQ community definitely needs to have that. They're very smart people. They've come through a lot. And I hope that they're out there celebrating, because coming out is one of the most difficult things I think anybody could ever do. And I think some of us heterosexual people need to do that. I mean, to experience that self-acceptance is something that really helps our mental health.
Definitely. Completely agree with that.
A lot of people take mental health to be, you know, to be very, to belittle it. They belittle it. They use it as a form of sympathy or as a form to get attention. And I think that that's one thing that we wanted to talk about. On social media, there's a lot of people who I don't know if it's fake or over exaggerate their mental state in order to get people to follow them or to like their post more often. But I know I get frustrated because I battle a lot of these issues, and I don't see it as something I want to share with the world too much, you know?
Right. Like lately, with everything that is happening right now, I've seen a lot of people like coming out as this is my struggle with this certain type of mental illness. And it's very sad. Like, I could appreciate to some point people just putting it out there and talking about it, but they're not giving it the weight it actually needs to have, because they're, like you said, belittling it and just romanticizing it, making it a trend. And then it's not helping anyone. It's just making it even more like harder for people to then come out and talk about it. Because then people are going to start thinking this kind of mental illness, it's a certain way, when in reality it's not that. It's not just being stressed or just being sad a little bit. And that's it. You know, when you're depressed, you're really depressed. When you have anxiety, there's so many things that come with that. It's just not only just being stressed, because there's a big line on Starbucks, you know?
Yeah. And I think one of the bigger ones that I see a lot is the fact that people call these little instances where they're nervous panic attacks. And I think most people have no idea what going through a panic attack is and how hard it is and how bad you feel. I mean, I know people who have told me that they feel like they're dying and they need to go to the hospital. It's not just like, oh, there's pressure on me or anything like that. It's
debilitating. I have dealt with a lot of anxiety, as many other mental illnesses that I've dealt with. I don't want to necessarily share, but in the topic about anxiety, like, you actually feel like you're having a heart attack, like you're out of breath, like literally you cannot breathe, and you feel like you're like dying, and you don't know what's going on because you don't know if it's actually a panic attack or you're having a real heart attack.
Yeah.
And just to say, when someone says that, when they're just having a hard time because they're stressed or nervous, and then someone will have that idea, it's just, you know, oh, that's cute. Oh, she's having a panic attack, but she's just nervous. And then when someone comes with a real panic attack, people don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, and it's sad because I think it happens as a culture. I know when growing up, there was a show called Seventh Heaven that one day portrayed cutting and self-harm, and then all of a sudden everybody had it. And I don't know how many actually had it, but it seemed that all of a sudden everybody has it. And everybody wants to be in this circle, and everybody wants to get attention for this. And it doesn't give it the value it should have. Like, people who self-harm, it's not for attention. And most of the time, people would never realize that this person's going through that. It's a form of control, right, when everything else feels out of control.
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
same thing with anxiety. When people started talking about anxiety, all of a sudden everybody wanted to have it. Everybody had a story about it. And instead of destigmatizing what this mental illness is, it kind of put a band-aid on a situation that was a lot worse than what I think most people think it is.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I know a lot of people probably think we wouldn't suffer from anxiety because of what we do, you know, how we have to meet people constantly, right, interviews, be at events. But those things are tiring to me. I mean, I come home at the end of the day after, you know, having gone to an event or an interview, and I'm exhausted.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, keeping this state of mind that's okay is exhausting at points. Like, I know it's okay to not be okay sometimes, but sometimes you just have to keep it together because you've made a promise, or you have an event to go to, or, you know, you just feel like you should.
Yeah. And the other problem I have as well is just people putting it as it's just a thought that you have. You just, you know, have to deal with your thoughts in a better way. You have to deal with your problems better. And it's not that. It's like, why don't you go to a person who suffers from diabetes and say, you just have to think that your blood level is not going to go up or down and make you faint. You cannot say that. It's the same thing. It's a biological thing. It's not just, let me sit down and think positive. And that's where I see the biggest problem now with this trend. Like, oh, we are coming out with my mental illness struggles, and we just, you know, meditate and everything is fine now. Or and it's not that. It's more complicated than that. It's biological, it's mental, it's physical. It's a lot of things.
I think finally, after actually making, you know, depression something that needed to be heard, people finally started paying attention to it, to the point where it is now both psychological and physiological, because your hormones change. And I think that's kind of the same way it is with all mental illnesses. It affects your body in some way, and you don't just need to fight the underlying cause of it, but you need to make sure that every aspect of it has been treated. You know, for people with depression, you have a ton of medication that kind of just, like, it looks to block the hormones which make you more depressed, instead of finding out how you can correct, you know, both the psychological aspect of it and the physiological, you know?
Yeah,
and it's not that I'm opposed to medication. You know, if you need medication, go for it. If you need to speak to somebody, go for it. Whatever you need to in order to feel okay, you know, is the right way to go about it. But don't just stop at the point where you're getting by for now.
Exactly.
We need
Yeah.
to continue going and find a way to always be okay. You know.
And go a little bit deeper in what's causing all these disruptions in the hormones, in how we react to things, in how things are affecting us. Like we're as our bodies are not in balance anymore. And what is the cause of that? It's not necessarily just, being depressed because you broke up with your boyfriend, you know? It's a lot of many other things. And definitely, like, pills could work for a certain time. Meditation, exercise, all that, yeah, it helps. But it doesn't cure it. It's just a band-aid for a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to meditation, I know I do a lot of meditation, and it's for a lot of different reasons. Like, it helps me get out of my head for a moment or refocus on what I should be focused on instead of always thinking the negative side of stuff. Because I know I intake a lot of negative information. And one of my podcasting partners, Mike the Movie Guy, always says that I'm very receptive to the negativity in the world. And I try to like carry it on my shoulders, and it's something I shouldn't do, you know?
Yeah, because there's people that are more empathetic, and there's actually a place in the brain that makes you more empathetic or less empathetic. So you're more affected. That's the thing with psychopaths. They don't have that. So they can't have empathy. And some people have more empathy, and those things affect them even more. It's not like you can sit down and just keep telling yourself one thing and then it's not going to affect you.
And yeah, I know we go to a lot of events usually, and it's usually a lot of people there. So I'm the type of person who will stay at one spot usually throughout the entire thing because I'm not comfortable enough to go around the room, and it does cause me somewhat anxiety to be around so many people, and I have to find ways to like just contain it to a point where I'm okay during the time.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like it's not always like too many things that affect me at once. I think that's what I have to try to get to. Like, it's one part of my life, and this is all that I'm going to be able to do right now. And I could, you know, like people need to find ways to do that where they can deal with it in sections, you know, and try to get over it in sections until they're finally all okay. You know, like it's no longer affecting them as much as it would be on a normal day.
Exactly. And just, trying to find a way to live with it and accept it. And, like sometimes I wake up and it's a day that I don't feel well. So I'm not gonna go and beat myself like, oh my God, I didn't do anything today. I would be like, you know what? Tomorrow is another day, and I'm gonna, do whatever I needed to do today. I'm gonna do it tomorrow. And I just need to be kind to myself and accept the fact that today it was a crappy day, and that's what it is. We can't control everything, but at least I can control how I feel about it.
Yeah, and once again, it's not something that I know I don't publicize it on social media, and I know when I finally started talking about it with people around me, people were surprised because they would have never guessed I was going through as much as I go through every single day. And
yeah,
I think
have the same, yeah, I have the same exact response from people. The few people that I've talked about this, they cannot believe it, because I'm always like bubbly and, you know, talking to everyone, and it would be like they cannot understand this other part of me because I don't show it and I don't talk about it with everyone.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of this criticism that I lack personality whenever I'm doing interviews or doing anything on social media, and people think it's something that I play, and it's like, no, like, I'm not playing this person that has no person. Like, I'm not comfortable enough to portray a personality because there's so much going on in my head and it can't all come out at once.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
it kind of freezes you.
Yeah. And the, you know, the more I try to talk about it with people, the less likely I am to post about it on social media, because I start hearing it for myself and I start beating myself up over it.
Yes. You know, yes.
That's a part of mental illness that a lot of people don't understand, the fact that you want to talk about it, but when you hear about it, you start feeling like, damn, I should have more control over this.
Yes.
And start being ashamed, and it starts going back into the mental illness, and it's just an endless cycle that isn't fun.
No.
It isn't cute. It isn't.
It's not a trend. Yeah, it's not a trend. It's not cute. And when you really struggle with those things, you don't want to put it out there like that. You don't want the attention on that. You don't want people talking about that, like, publicly with you. It's a real struggle. It's not just, let's just put it on a shirt. Like, I have anxiety, and, you know, This is a new thing right now.
I know people ask me how I do interviews, and I was talking to one of my friends how I am completely nervous to the moment where I step into the interview. But then when I'm doing the interview, it's like nothing, because I have more control over what I'm saying because I've researched so much over it.
Mm-hmm.
But once that interview ends, that anxiety comes back, because I don't know if I did it all properly. I don't know how people are going to respond to it. And I start beating myself up over it all over again.
Yeah.
So it's not like just because I'm okay with it for like the 5 minutes that we're in the interview, or however long that interview is, that I'm okay. It's more of a, how long can I have control over it?
Yep. And then everything starts spinning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, once again, it's not cute. It's not something you want to be talking about 24/7, because you know, once you start spinning out of control if you have so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people, I was talking a lot about the pandemic in earlier podcasts, and I had some comments where people were being triggered because they are getting anxiety over that and everything that's happening.
Uh-huh.
And I understand it. Like, I need to choose my words carefully so I don't trigger other people's whatever they have, whether it be anxiety or depression, whatever they have, I need to choose my words so I'm not triggering it.
Yeah, that's actually being responsible. And I think influencers that are taking mental illness as a trend to gain followers, attention, and just being fake, this fake authenticity is harmful. It's actually harmful.
And one person that I do think does a really good service for mental illness and seeking help is Howard Stern, how he talks about how detrimental he was to himself until he started going to a therapist and figuring stuff out and being honest with himself as well as with others.
Uh-huh.
And you could totally tell from his career how it changes and how he starts what I hope is being more honest with himself and more true to himself.
Yep.
Like, his style changed so much over the years. And also Conan O'Brien, I just finished binging his podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, over the last 2 weeks, which is like 70 episodes or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about, you know, how he started going to a therapist and how at first he felt like he needed to be on. He needed to be this, you know, charismatic character. And little by little, it broke down and he really started learning a lot about himself. And that's, you know, if therapy helps to do that, to bring you to a place where you're learning about yourself and you're accepting yourself, then all, you know, all the best to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not social media. It's just because you get 100 likes because you're, you know, stressing out over your Starbucks coffee not having, you know, soy milk or almond milk.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to help you if you actually have anxiety.
Uh-huh. You know? To me, it sounds like they don't. They don't, because then they wouldn't be posting about it in such a way.
Yeah. If people really are suffering from it, they need to seek actual help, not just use it as a tool to try to humanize yourself to others on social media, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The person you are is going to be loved or hated, and we have no control over that.
Yeah.
You know, we have control over what we do, how and how we respond.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah,
there's many ways you can, like, again, I appreciate the talk, the putting it out there, but when it's coming from another motive, then it's troubling, and that's the problem.
Yeah, and I like the fact that now a lot of these news outlets are talking about the mental health aspect of COVID-19 and how even if you haven't been diagnosed, you have been affected mentally, and there's a lot of people out there who are seeking help for the mental health aspect of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. That's very responsible.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, it's all encompassing.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I've kept you for like 40 minutes now. And
No, it's fine. It's a great topic. You know, there's so many things that, you know, need to be said.
Yeah, there is a lot to be said. And like I've said, you know, in every podcast where I talk about mental health, if you need somebody and you don't have anybody, I have my social media out there. I have my email. I check it constantly. Mm-hmm. I don't turn people away. If people need to talk or have a story to say, I will read it. I will respond. And there is no judgment from my end, because I think one of the worst things to do about mental health is be all judgy about it. We don't know how badly stuff actually affects people.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are people who just need some sort of release.
Yeah. And that's the way I would like to approach it. Like, I don't need a big coming out in my story or a post on Instagram. I would, if I feel that someone might need to talk or they're going through something, I would rather have that conversation one-to-one. When it's real, it's honest, and it comes from a place of caring.
Mm-hmm. It needs to come from a very authentic place.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure how often that authenticity is able to be put out on social media. Like, I'm happy people are getting help. I'm happy that people are dealing with it in the way they have to.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not do it in a way where somebody else feels like they're not as caught up with their own situation as others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that there is depression because of social media, because people look at other people's lives and compare themselves to it. And it's the same way with mental health. Like, if not getting your Starbucks at, you know, 7 a.m. in the morning, your biggest, you know, is the most negative thing you do in a day, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah. Yeah.
there's people out there who are dealing with addiction, who are dealing with mental illness, who have a lot, have it a lot worse.
Yeah, and they still have to put a brave face, but they're struggling.
Yeah. Well, anyways, thank you, Rocio, for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Follow you on social media. You're at Morning Dew on Instagram. Do you have a Twitter?
Yes, it's R-O-R-O Vidal.
Yeah. Okay, sounds awesome. Thank you very much for joining me, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your day. Okay, let's talk a little entertainment. Let's talk some Netflix. I recently started watching 13 Reasons Why Season 4. Seasons 1 through 3 were pretty good. I really enjoyed them. I've had a little bit of a hard time watching the seasons just because they deal with a lot of issues that are very impactful and kind of get in my mind and make me think. And I think that it's a great show for that reason. Season 4 has been the same way. I think some episodes are really hard to watch, especially when you can relate to some of the stuff that is in the show. The fourth season is the final season of Netflix's 13 Reasons Why. It was renewed on August 1st, 2019 and premiered on June 5th, 2020. Synopsis: Liberty High School senior class is preparing for graduation, but of course, before they can actually say goodbye to each other and their school, they will have to keep a dangerous secret buried, as well as face heartbreaking choices that may impact their futures forever. The show starts off with a funeral, and you don't know whose funeral. So throughout the season, you are trying to figure out who died. I'm not sure who died yet. I have my guesses. I really don't want Clay to die, so I really hope that that's not who is dead. I don't want Justin to die. I don't want any of these characters to die. I've gotten so attached to these characters that it's kind of upsetting thinking that any of them are gonna die. Season 1 was great. I think I'll make another podcast where I go through all three seasons, but I will quickly give you a brief overview of what I thought. Season 1 was great. It was explosive. It caught your attention. I know I got the book because I saw Season 1 and I wanted to know more. When Season 2 came along, I thought Season 2 was a little bit stronger. You already had this sense of knowing these characters. You were attached to them a bit. You knew what they went through. You were able to kind of align yourself with the character you most saw yourself as. I know there's a lot of people out there in high school who saw themselves in these characters and wanted to kind of have that experience of what are they thinking, how are they going to progress, what's going to happen to them. Season 3 slowed down a bit, but it was still good. For me, Season 2 is still the better of the three seasons. I can't say anything about Season 4 yet since I haven't finished watching it, since I have been having to take little breaks between episodes because the episodes have caused me somewhat to have an issue with what's going on. I'm sure it's not going to be slowing down in that aspect anytime soon. I know I'm going to take my time watching some of these episodes, thinking about what's happening, overthinking what's happening, and kind of just finding my way through this. I really am enjoying the season, even though it's causing me all this anguish, but it's good anguish. It's a good thing to be reflecting on. And I think there isn't many shows out there that do that. This show is great at doing that. It captures issues. It makes you think. And I think that's something that starts conversations. And I think America, I think families, I think we all need to have more conversations that matter. I am enjoying that Clay is seeing a therapist. I think anybody who goes through situations that are traumatic, that are impactful, even if they're impactful in a positive way, needs to talk to somebody about what's going on. I mean, it's not about it affecting you negatively. It's more of it being something that you need to deal with. As I'm watching these episodes, I'm also listening to podcasts, and I hear people on podcasts saying that if you're in your early to mid 20s
Anxiety is a given thing, and it's not. Yes, you don't know how to cope with stuff, and there's a lot of change, there's a lot of chaos, but anxiety is a little bit more than that. It's more than just a little stress because of this. It's more than just a little stress because you are going from high school to college. It's more than that. I know it could get to the point where something that is bothering you mentally, that is causing you stress, becomes very visible in a physical manner. And I don't think that it's something that people necessarily have control over. Like, I don't think you could get hives from stress because you think of hives. I think it is something more. And that is what needs to be looked at. It's not just because there's a little stress in your life. If you're not sleeping because of stress, then it may be anxiety. If you're not eating because of stress, that may be anxiety. If you aren't feeling sick because of stress, that may be anxiety. And all these issues have something underlying about them. And once again, it's both physical and it's mental. So you need to take care of both of those issues. Whatever they may be, talk to somebody, find some help, and you need to make sure you deal with whatever it is that's causing this. And I think that's something this show does amazingly well. Friendship is another thing that really helps when you're young. And I think it helps you as you grow because the people you associate yourself with help you realize the person you want to be. The biggest influence on who you are as a person is always family, parents, brothers and sisters. They're the top. There is no removing yourself from that. Whether it's I'm going to be more like this person because I like the way they are, or I'm going to be less like this person because I don't like the way they are. We take from our family because we're around them so much. Other than that, we take from our friends. And I like the fact that this group of friends is so diverse. Yes, they're all from the same town, but they're all struggling through their issues. They're all trying to get through high school. And I enjoy the fact that not everybody is feeding into that same mindset. They're all challenging each other. They're all bringing issues to the situation. They're all dealing with it in their own way, whether it be healthy or not. Because even though Clay is doing the quote unquote right thing, it doesn't seem like it's the healthiest thing for him at the moment. I may be wrong as I see more of his therapy, even though I do believe therapy is a good tool for a lot of people. It doesn't seem like it's the right tool for him. It seems like he shut out his friends, and that's causing him more grief than anything else. Beside that, Justin has strangely become such an enchanting character. Even though he's not the best character, you feel for him, you want what's best for him, and he's just being played so fantastically well. His ups and downs have been crazy throughout the seasons, and you kind of are just hoping that by the end of this season, he is past all this. He is succeeding. He is a better person. Annie has been a weird character. She's only been around for 2 seasons, and it's kind of eh. Like, I like her. She's fun as a character. I just don't see much of what she brings to this situation. Tony is amazing to me. He is a fantastic character. Christian Navarro, who plays Tony, is a magnificent actor. I think he's handled the pressures of this role so well. He feels like such a believable character. And he makes this character feel like somebody that I would want to be friends with. Jessica has been the same from season 1 through season 4. She's somebody you really enjoy, and I really hope the best for her in this season. Zach, I'm not really sure about. Zach is one of these characters where I'm both enjoying his character, but I'm not sure exactly how I feel about his character. He's growing on me this season. I can see why he's struggling so much, and he is becoming more of a prominent character this season. Some of the new characters I'm really not liking. Like, they don't seem to fit into this story. Like, even though they have parts in this story that matter, I don't feel for them as much as I do the rest of the cast. Maybe it's because they're new. Maybe I still need to see more of their story. There's some frightful elements to this season that kind of get to me. But at the same time, I usually feel for these villains in the story. Like in a normal movie, in a normal storyline, I feel for the villains. And that kind of doesn't happen in this. Like, I don't feel for the villains. I don't feel like they're human, kind of. Like, I don't know their story, and I kind of don't care why they're doing what they're doing because they're messing with the elements of the rest of the major storyline in a way that don't make sense to me at the moment. Maybe they will by the end of the season. I'm not sure, but I will continue to watch it and I will do another podcast. I will probably call it 13 Reasons Why You Should Watch 13 Reasons Why Season 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I will continue watching and I'll get back to you on how I feel about the entire season as a whole and each season individually. So my final thoughts will start with a quote from Beth Evans, who is at Beth Draws Things of Instagram. I saw it and I very much connected with it. It says, "Sometimes it's hard to express what you are feeling because being honest about what you are going through can easily turn into a full critique with immediate advice and expectations of change. It's okay to take your time." I really connected with that and I thought that it's very true and I wanted to share with you guys. So check out Beth Draws Things on Instagram. She is fantastic. She deals with mental health issues and she does a comic about mental health issues, and I think she nails it. She gets that feeling of what it's like to deal with anxiety and depression just right. She doesn't glorify it, she doesn't belittle it. She brings the issue to the forefront, and she doesn't have that stigma that most people bring to it. My final thoughts. Mental illness isn't sexy. It isn't something that you exploit for sympathy or social media followers. There are people who seriously struggle with mental illness, and it isn't something that they can talk about as openly or as easily. They don't put it out there, mostly because it's something that they are really affected by. Mental illness, such as depression and anxiety, cause most to want to discuss it, but feel like a burden for even thinking about mentioning it. People deal with situations differently. The majority of the people with mental illness would rather keep it hidden out of fear that they will be defined by the single label or fear of the consequences if they voice out what is really happening in their minds or lives. Panic attacks have consequences and can lead to bigger issues. Panic attacks feel much like heart attacks and aren't easily forgotten or gotten over, many times leading people to spend a few hours at the hospital, sometimes even having medications prescribed. With depression and the major signs of depression, those can lead to being committed as 5150, which means you are harmful to yourself and others, which usually means 72 hours mandatory treatment at a hospital or a psych evaluation. Even more so, suicidal thoughts and attempts lead to incredibly harsh measures to try and help people who attempt suicide. Sometimes it's needed. Sometimes that forced help can save lives. Sometimes it doesn't. But due to all that, privacy is lost and people are always watching so that there is a possibility of help. Anxiety can lead to heart problems. Bipolar disorders can be dangerous to oneself and to those around them. It goes on and on. It's not something to take lightly or to throw around like it's no big deal. We need to stop the stigma about mental health and make seeking treatment easier. We need to look at those around us and be able to tell when they are having a good day and when they are not. We need to listen and watch out for one another and not make light of what those with mental health go through. We need to have common sense and compassion. We need to find what helps us get through the day and be aware that others need to find it as well. We need to give value to mental illness, the proper value. Reach out if you need it. I'm always available and my contact info is in the description as always. And remember, you are cared for and you are loved. And let's talk again soon.